This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff at Guardian Network.
The aftermath of every social revolution brings about change. Cultural norms and landmarks shift as our minds and hearts expand beyond the familiar. To everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose in the land of the living. This is our time to renew, revive, and restore the hope lost to the busyness of life. This is our time to dig again and rebuild from the storms of our past on a solid footing that holds. Welcome to The Foundation.
The Foundation.
The Foundation of Heart Grant is brought to you by Alive, Baja Retreat and Spa, Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, the Digital Transformation Unit, Skin Solutions, and Wendy's.
The Foundation.
It's the foundation, foundation. So it's the foundation, foundation. So it's the foundation, foundation. So it's the foundation.
It's the foundation that's rocking the nation. Howard Grant's the host, got in radio station 96.9. 12-2 is the time. You can call the show or use the text line. Yeah, he educates, he informs. He goes against the norm. He's really got that zeal. Plus, he's a child of God.
Foundation. It's the foundation. Foundation. It's the foundation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, The Foundation. On this absolutely gorgeous Wednesday afternoon, so good to be in your company. It's getting a little hot. It's getting hot. It's getting hot. I mean, I'm glad to be here. Talk to me, but the humidity, you could keep it. Talk to me. I mean, wow. It's good to be in your company, though. It's a beautiful Wednesday. It's a great deal has happened. We're going to get into a lot today. And I am grateful. You know, it's Wednesday. It's a hump day. And so we always try to do our best to kind of be able to bring in a panel. It's going to happen on the second hour. I got somebody to be able to come in to have great conversation historically and really futuristically in terms of the direction that we're going to take. But before we get into all of that, let me thank the sponsors that continue to be able to commit themselves to us here at the Foundation, here at Guardian Radio, to be able to put their products and services out there, let you know exactly where they are, what they're doing, and for you to be able to participate in that. And we're hoping that it's just not fodder, that we're just reading this out into the ether. We want you to understand that these are the people that really commit themselves to us, and we thank them so very kindly for doing that. And right off the top of the list is definitely Baja Retreat. So moms are special, and they deserve the best. Treat them to a spa day at Baja Retreat Spa. Stop by and purchase a gift certificate at their location on East Bay Street, or call them at 323-6711, or purchase a gift certificate online at www.BajaRetreat.com. That's B-A-H-A, Baja Retreat, R-E-T-R-E-A-T.com, BajaRetreat.com. And make sure that you can be able to pick those things up. Do not forget that it is Mother's Day. Mother's Day is coming. I mean, fast and furious. You're out there trying to figure out whether or not you should cook the ham and the turkey together, getting duck. You're doing a lot. Okay, you're doing a great deal for Mother's Day, but make sure that you treat mom good and take care of her in those particular instances. Also, Skin Solution got something for you. It says, indulge your mom or yourself this Mother's Day at Skin Solution Day Spa and Salon. Mom and Me Retreat Package is a package for two. Two 50-minute Swedish massages with hot stones on your neck, back, and shoulders for 1 hour. Right? $187 Skin Solution over at Cable Beach West. It's right under, right there near Bahama. okay? Make sure you check that out. You can give them a call at 327-0500, 327-0500. So that's the information is out there. If you guys want to be able to participate just before Mother's Day, you want to be able to get that information out. Let's say you're looking at Thursday. You know that tomorrow is Small Business Thursdays. If you want to be able to participate and do that, 827-0111, 827-0111. Maybe your flowers ain't moving the way that you wanted or you expected or you anticipated. Maybe you believe that everyone's going to be last minute like they've always done. Things are changing. Give us a call, 827-0111, or give us a call at 302-2300, and we can be able to help you out as it relates to advertisement to kind of prop it up and make some things happen. Guys, it's a beautiful day. I want you to make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper. Let me stretch out for this, right? Make sure you pick up your Guardian newspaper and see exactly what's in the paper. Now, I can't even go far. I have to touch this at the onset because I'm indifferent about it. I am. I read the paper this morning. Make sure you pick it up. It says, probe over the Atlantis boss's RCI statement. The Department of Labor descends. This is almost like the second coming. This is a lot. The eastern sky is also obviously cracked. The Department of Labor descends on Paradise Island Resort. Let's read a little piece of it so we could have a very clear understanding as to exactly what's happened. If you didn't pick it up, just follow with me and we can be able to chop it down today. It says the Department of Labor has launched an investigation after Atlantis president and managing director Audrey Oswell in a formal communication last month urged staff to take a stand in relation to the RCI, the Royal Caribbean International proposed $100 million beach project on the western end of Paradise Island. The department is seeking to determine what impact, if any, that communication has had or is having on the staff of the resort, which is the largest private employer in the Bahamas. It's important that we actually indicate those particular things. It says, the Nassau Guardian understands that the department representatives descended on Atlantis yesterday, issuing a survey to staff. The survey asks a few questions. I think it's about four questions. Here's the questions. Are you aware of the public statement made by the resort managing director regarding the RCI investment? Two, have you been approached by management to lobby against the project regarding RCI? Three, do you feel intimidated or obligated to lobby against RCI project? Four, do you feel like you would be terminated and or disciplined if you don't comply? And it goes on to say that the employees were also asked to indicate on the survey whether they are managers or line staff. When asked about the survey last night, Director of Labor Robert Farquharson, he said the Department of Labor, and it goes back to six, right? So we can pick it up at six. Now, I read the entire story. I got some things to say, and I actually made a few calls this morning trying to be able to get a little deeper. Now, you got to remember something. I'm a hotel guy, right? I come from the hotel. I know rules, regulations, and I know the gulf that exists between government pronouncements and my obligation within the confines of my occupation. I know that. That is clearly stated in the proverbial Bible that they give you, which is the handbook. Let's talk about it. He says the investigation involving the Atlantis' employees, Farquharson, declined to say any more. Watch this. A senior tourism industry stakeholder speaking without any expectation of attribution indicated concerns over the government's tactics in response to Oswell. And then it goes on to say, this is a third world. This is obviously what the senior tourism industry stakeholder actually indicated. It says, this is a third world Gestapo-type, Putin-type method. This is what the individual observed. And then it says, it's really quite embarrassing. I can't think of a single instance where this has ever happened. Now, the Nassau Guardian understands that certain individuals in government feel the employees are being made to take a stand against this controversial project under duress. It goes on to say the survey is just one of the elements of the Department of Labor investigation, which started 2 weeks ago. The industry stakeholder also opined yesterday, should this not be resolved, this can have serious implication as to the relationship, government has with Atlantis and the level of investment they may wish to commit to, simply because they stated their opinion as one would be allowed to in any democracy. This is the communication, if you didn't have an opportunity to be able to see it. Guys, please, I didn't get that, the raw communication, but this is the information, it's the paper. You can send it if you got it, 8270111, 8270111. So it goes on to communications. In her communications to employees in early April, also said, many of you have expressed your support for our speaking out and asked what Atlantis team members can do to make their voice heard. This is bananas. I got to stop it here. I have to stop it here. Now, I don't claim to be one of these, you know, long-term workers within the tourism industry within, but, you know, trust me, I do my job well. I apply my heart and soul. My wife say, oh, you love the hotel better than me. I love this thing that I do. I search and research and search and search. I knew little to nothing about what was happening socially. I knew everything what was happening occupationally and my desire to climb that ladder within the organization. And I knew very clearly that there was a gulf that existed between my position as an employee, which was then eventually a manager. I eventually moved up to a managerial capacity with a desire to move even further in the organization. And any pronouncements, and this was never stated, they never minced their words as it relates to being able to speak on behalf of the organization. Now, keep in mind, I worked at Starwood. Same principles applied. Be very clear about this. Now, watch this. Many of you have expressed your support for our speaking out and asked what Atlantis team members can do to make their voice heard. I thought that was bananas. Howard Grant? Me? I would never tell you I even read that. That ain't my business. In my mummering, I was trying to figure out how Atlantis getting these people business. That's me and you, mum. That's us. How are we getting these people business? That's us. Now let's go. This is the local economy is driven by tourism. And for the most part, tourism is driven by the beautiful waters and beaches of the Bahamas and its people. As a part of the hospitality industry, we need to stand up. My God, this was too much for me. This was too much. I couldn't take it. We need to stand up. Who's the we? Is this the objective being propelled by the position of Atlantis, the collective? Is this the position of the stakeholders and those persons with responsibility of carriage over Atlantis? Or is this the sort of ambition and that zealous position of an individual who seeks to be able to carry her agenda and make it everyone else's? This is only questions I have here, because this goes contrary to the principles that we know that exists within this space of tourism. Let's talk about it. Let's get a little deeper. And then it goes on to say that we need to stand up and protect our livelihood. I encourage you, this is crazy, I encourage you to share your thoughts. Never in the history. Never. We don't get in people business. Our obligations are confined to the space that we're in. Talk to me. I encourage you, employees, managers, and others, right, to share your thoughts with your family and friends. Watch this. This is the part, and then we can take it from here. Follow the review process as it unfolds. If you feel strongly, contribute to the public dialogue. I am going to leave it right there. Read the story. The story actually goes on a little bit deeper and start to talk about, we sincerely hope that this project review and approval process will develop following all the necessary protocols. Unfortunately, that has not yet happened. This was the article that was actually put out before that Oswald has taken on to be able to do that. Now, whilst we continue to be able to talk about these things, I want to do this. Let me start out decent before I put the numbers out there. Y'all got the lines lit up before we even start to talk. So let's just be decent. Last night, I put my blazer in my truck at the top of, you know, the night before. And I said to my wife, tomorrow, I got to go to this thing, which is return to idealism, right? This conversation that's going to be between maybe a lecture series. I don't know how it's set up. But it's a return to idealism between Sean McQueenie, Casey, and Franklin Wilson. Being able to speak about sort of this idea of return to idealism. And I sat in the audience, and I was enamored. I was really taken back from it, sort of what the MC has actually put on. I thought that was an amazing thing. Dr. Chris Curry is a very good friend of the show and of ours, and all those persons who actually participated. I want to let you know that you did a wonderful job. However, for me, listening to this, the only thing that actually drew me in was this kind of a concept and idea that says return to idealism. If it was idealism, then I said, oh my God, this is a perpetuation of the PLP. I don't want to go. But a return to idealism, I need to know that there had been sort of a line of history. And in the conversation last night, there were significant nuggets of truth being laid on the floor. And Frankie Wilson would have been able to say some things that this is an inconvenient truth, an uncomfortable truth, but it's a truth nonetheless, right? I didn't agree with some of the things that he said. However, he put it out. He says that this is an inconvenient truth and a truth nonetheless. And then they started to kind of take this course on to show the disparity that existed, the amalgamation of strength and the intelligentsia that exists within the country. Those who went off to school, who came back to start this concept called UNICOM, which is University and College Students United, being able to speak to social issues. Then he started to talk about how the vanguard came out of this. And then they started to say something more specific. They wanted to know at which point, which inflection, that there was a significant separation. Will we get into it? And how politicians have pursued mid-level salesmen under the guise of investors seeking to come into our country and barter an opportunity for concessions to sell it to the highest bidder when they go elsewhere. The conversation was bananas. I was writing all night. I couldn't take it. And one of the things that came out of the conversation is this idea of a relentless yielding and a giving up of our position to foreign direct investments. In one way or another, the thing came up. And first thing this morning, as I read this in the newspaper, I look at this and I said, our position nationally in our relentless pursuit to always ensure that external persons investing in our country, that we seek to have them relentlessly comfortable. Are you okay? Can I pluff your pillow for you? Are you good? This relentless servitude that we yield to foreign, even mid-level investors, mid-level salesmen fronting as investors, has given them subconsciously a very quiet, towering position over us. This is what we've given to them. Ms. Oswell, being able to speak to the employees of Atlantis very clearly, and RCI knows this also, RCI knows, even in their speech, their pronouncements, as they initially came out, Atlantis came to the forefront and made certain pronouncements about their indifference and the necessity for transparency and this being done properly, so forth and so on. RCI acknowledged the fact that this is the second largest employer in the Bahamas. And we, which is a very clear indication, which is RCI and Atlantis, could forge a relationship that there is productivity. You remember this. When RCI indicated that we, RCI, have given you millions of customers over the years. We talked about this. And the we were between two proverbial elephants, whilst the collective we, which is identified at the grassroots, was no longer just the grassroots, but we were the ants in this conversation. Being smashed in some way or another, watch me, by these proverbial giants with a desire to be able to sink their teeth into our economy one way or another. Now, I don't believe that Atlantis has taken on this position independently within themselves and saying, fight this thing. I don't believe. We could talk about it. The lines will be open real soon. But I believe that this is the zealous position to be able to be identified as the one that can turn the curb and ensure that things can happen. It's very simple. This isn't difficult. This isn't chess. This is simply checkers. Through mere observation, you could understand how to play chess. Just watch it. Many expat that comes into our space can identify how to move and identify how to become proverbial kings on this board of economic growth and development here in this country. How to strategically place themselves to become more valuable on this board. And I believe that that has been the position that has been taken in this instance. To be able to say to the workforce, in no uncertain terms, participate. That goes contrary to what we know to be a biblical truth. You know, we call that employee handbook, our Bible of the organization. We are going contrary to the biblical truth of the handbook that was given to us that plainly and specifically separates us from any participation. When given an opportunity, it's very important that you understand that you do what you're called to do. The very first time I did some public speaking in church, I was at the Universal Household of Faith in Grand Bahama. Shout out to Bishop Ricardo Grant. They let me speak at Countdown to Glory. They said, Mr. Grant, we want you to do this. Howard, come and do this. I said, no problem. I got mad excited. This was, I don't know, almost 15, 17 years ago. I got mad excited. And I went up on the stage and I read what they asked me to read and I tried to kind of get them riled up subconsciously. I think I preach it now. And one of the associate pastors says, Howard, come, let me talk to you. He said, when you go up and someone gives you something to do, just do what you're asked to do. And it was a scolding at the time, but it was a necessary thing to happen for me to understand and gauge this up to experience to understand that I have an obligation to carry out. Atlantis' obligation is to be able to ensure the operational movement, wherewithal of their organization on a day-to-day basis, to ensure that the stakeholders are satisfied and they're moving with productivity within the organization. We recognize your enormity socially. But to be able to use the workforce against social productivity outside of the conglomerate, outside of that mammoth cathedral globally that we call Atlantis is absolutely wrong. I just want to say that. I just want to be very clear with that. This is no position to take on this kind of a public. You've already said your statement. We talked about it. We dissected it. We didn't say anything. But to now engage employees in a time where there is a socioeconomic crunch, of course, the Department of Labor, these persons are afraid for their jobs. Absolutely. Many of these persons within the organizations are feeding two and three families. Can we be real today? This was a declaration, especially for those employees who are abreast to what's happening socially. That's one. Two, especially for those parties who are zealous with a desire to be able to climb within the organization. I will do this, boss. This is what you want me to do. Can we have this clear, honest conversation today and talk about whether or not this is something that should have happened the way that it did? The lines are wide open. Please be a part of it. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family of violence, 242-300-5720, or you can hit me up 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead. That's a caller on the line. No, guys, the lines are wide open. So if you want to be able to participate, please do so. And kind of get into that. Let me see if I can read one or two of these. It's very ghetto of this administration. Banana Republic Esquire. This is Howard Gooday. The government may not be genuine in their actions, but because of this Stockholm-like syndrome, this is crazy, we cannot appreciate them looking out for us. Even if it's not genuine. Who cares what other investments Atlantis may have to come forward? They are only here for their benefit. We are the slave labor. This is a text coming through. It's the next telephone call. Caller on the line with us live. Go ahead. Turn your radio down for me.
What?
Hey, how you doing, my brother?
You know, good day to you, buddy. You know, what reminds me about Atlantis? Since Atlantis has started operating, we've had Bahama, Albany, which is a major operation. We had another operation right out here the other day. And Atlantis never wanted Bahama to come. Mm-hmm. And I could never say, if you see now that Nassau is now occupying Atlantis and Bahama, plus other operations. Mm-hmm. And yet they didn't want Bahama to be in Nassau. They said, "Oh, it's too much." So, as far as I'm concerned, they really don't have the authority to say to the government or the people of the Bahamas what should or what should not be in Nassau. Mm-hmm. They don't have the authority.
I appreciate your telephone call, my brother. Thank you so very kindly. I don't know whether or not they've taken on this position authoritatively. I don't know whether or not they believe that they can directly speak to the government, but they understand the tools of democracy. They understand that the people, and many of us say that the voice of the people is the voice of God. Let's just be, you know, let's be wild about this. Let's not be wild about this, right? But any savvy businessman, especially coming into a space like ours, a third world country where there is a relentless need and a desire for occupation, understands the tool of democracy that exists here. And whilst they may not necessarily feel like they can be able to squeeze the government into a corner between a rock and a hard place by saying, hey, listen, we're going to take our, you know, like Compass Point, we're going to take our business elsewhere. I believe Atlantis's position, understanding the mammoth, employee that they have there demographically, understanding that that exists in the country, I believe that they're using that to be able to turn the tides in their direction. Now, I want to be honest. I'm reading this story, and I don't know whether or not this is, like I said, now you could tell me whether you agree, whether or not this is an independent position with aspirations to be able to climb within an organization from an individual, or whether or not this is a pronouncement that came down when I was over on the top of the hill, over in Collins Avenue. Let's be decent. Y'all stop it. You know what I'm talking about. And they pulled the show. They pulled me in the office for the very first time. When I had Michael Alkitas on. I had to have Michael Alkitas on. Michael Alkitas said they can cut VAT and they don't know where they can get the money from. I had to talk like this. So I called him. Mike said, you know, Paul Mama, come. Brought him on, had a conversation with him. A call came all the way. Now, they don't know that I know this, but a call came from Grand Bahama. Man, listen to me. This is a small country. I would get the information. A call came from Grand Bahama and said, watch out for that boy, which is me. Then I was pulled into the office. I'd already had this information in my head. I got the call right after the show, right? The next day, they called me in the office on the top of the hill over there in Collins Avenue. And I said, how can I help? And they said, we don't want you to bring on any more politicians. So I said, you sure? He says, yes. I said, so we want me to cancel Adrian Gibson's show on Monday? He says, no. So I said, okay. So you want me to so I can bring on Glennis Hannon Martin on Thursday. She said, now, Howard, watch yourself. I said, so you're saying don't bring no PLP on? Oh, Howard, I didn't say that. I said, so what are you saying to me? I don't understand what you're saying. This is Howard, I take directive. This is big. My question to you, whether or not this is a directive that came down or whether or not this is a position to retain certain their position. This is Oswell's position independently, individually, to retain this and move forward. I don't know. Let's talk about it. Let's chop it down. There's a lot of things happening in this country. And whilst we're seeing business expand externally from a private sector, it seems as though our governments are contracting intellectually, in their position socially, and as it relates to innovation, creativity to expand this country. Let's talk about these things. Guys, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company. Quick commercial break and be right back after this.
Foundation. The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
It's a special day for Mom, and she deserves the best. Bring her into Baja and let's de-stress. We'll pamper her and make her feel safe. Get Mom a nice spa day.
Come visit us at Baja Retreats Baja. Purchase a gift for Mom and call us today at 323-6711.
We'll pamper her and make her feel safe. Get Mom a nice spa day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant and your company, Guardian Radio. The Foundation, really being able to chop it down today. It's a beautiful day. It's a Wednesday. And this roundtable panel conversation, panel discussion includes you. So give me a call, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or hit me up on the toll-free number, 242-300-5720, or text 422-4796. Let me read this text. It actually came through. It says, from that two-page statement from Atlantis about 2 months ago, I felt like they only saw the staff as actual livestock. Bananas, talk to me. I felt like they only saw the staff as actual livestock with their whips out to carry this heavy load of chariots called Atlantis. I thought maybe the PM or the Minister of Labor should have immediately hit back against that statement. But it hasn't happened, has it? There's not going to be a hit back. I don't think, you know, I always was indifferent with Dr. Menace. I was always indifferent with it. I always was. And I sent information to him early on in the pandemic. Right after Dorian and early on in the pandemic when there was sort of a rush and politically motivated, of course, but there was a rush to be able to kind of squash and dismiss information that was coming out from all sectors of the internet. I mean, come listen, for every orifice in the internet, everything, just garbage was coming out. The prime minister took on a position to be able to say that at the time, the former prime minister, take on a position to say that this is fake news. Perpetually solidifying our thoughts that he wants to emulate Donald Trump. That's what he does. This is an exhausting thing. This is fake news. Listen, man. So I said, through the PR machinery that was set up, I called a couple of them, and I said, this is a foolish thing that the prime minister seeks to be able to emulate what's happening in the United States of America. It's no need to reject in this small space that we live in that this is fake news. There's no need to be able to indicate that this is fake news. All you have to do is utilize the tools that exist that you have as the government of the Bahamas. That's all you have to do. And indicate that if you want true, authentic news, this is where you go for it. Now, you also have the responsibility to ensure that there's always, you know, you always keep up with the information that's out there. You can't have somebody every 3, 4, 5 days, a week and a half, say they can update it. It should be updated by the minute. Updated by the minute. But there's no need to refute the idea that this is fake news. You don't have to come as the authority of the country to say that this is fake. All you have to do is create an authoritative space that people could run to look for it. That's the first thing I'll do. People say this actress dead or that actress dead. I go to CNN. I go to MSNBC. I ain't getting Fox. I go to CNN. I go to these big things. I go. And if the information exists in this particular space, I go to AP. If it exists there, oh my God, the people dead. Other than that, it's garbage. It ain't true until the authority indicates that it's true. I may even go to TMZ in certain spaces. Now, for the government of the Bahamas to have to hit back, that ain't necessary. All you have to do is take your authoritative position and speak and say, thus saith the government of the Bahamas. But we cower in the shadow of possibility that this $100 million project, this $300 million project, that this, the relationship that we have to possibly be able to lure more people in may be compromised. Oh my God, what are we going to do? You got to stop it, man. And this is where it continues to go back to compromise and convictions. You wrestle with the thing. You wrestle with the thing. And we, as a collective, who you call grassroots and ants, are smashed by the proverbial elephants. And guess what? They only came here as mules. You fed them into this ginormous elephant capacity. That's, you did that. They came here as mules. Frankie Wilson said it last night in the speech. These fellas ain't no investors, they ain't got no money. They only hoping that you would view them in the light, give them concessions, and they could go sell it somewhere else. You fed the mules and made them elephants to smash us as people. Let's take a next telephone call. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. How you doing, Howard?
All is well, Anton. What's up?
As it relates to this letter that you are reading, from the I think it's the president of Atlantis.
Yes.
Regarding seeking to find out what the staff could do to assist in this process that they expressed concerns about. Quite frankly, I don't see what the issue is.
Why not?
I don't see what the issue is because when you look at what was going on with Bahama, if you remember correctly, you had the Bahama staff in droves who came out and spoke for their president or their chairman, Sarkis Ismailian. When you look at what was happening with the numbers referendum, you had their staff who came out and spoke publicly, right? and even conducted marches in the country.
But don't conflate the issue, Anton.
Pardon me?
Don't conflate the issue, because when the Staff of Bahama came out, it was in support of retention. It was in support of them being able to retain the position and them being able to ensure that the leadership that exists there retains their position. That
are you sure about that, Howard?
That's what it was.
It wasn't the only reason that they came out. They came out and they spoke directly against what they saw was the government taking advantage of their leader, who they supported.
But, Anton, you say the same words what I'm saying. I'm saying to you it was about retention, for them to retain this position. These people already have jobs at Atlantis. They have an obligation at Atlantis to go and fold the sheets, to sweep up the floor, to check the people in, to clean up the pool. They're already working. There's no need for them to make agitation socially for something else that's happening out here that the government can take care of.
And so moving on to that next point, right, Howard, which is what I would have ended on, as it relates to the staff at Atlantis, if their employers, who employ them, who pay them a salary every week, who ensure that they can take care of their family, pay their bills, mortgages, etc., if they are expressing a major concern that they feel could threaten the livelihood of the property, right, and their ability to continue operating successfully, right, I don't see anything wrong with the very staff who look to that property and its owners and its principals to continue providing a means by which they can take care of themselves, stepping up if they so desire, and speaking to the members of parliament, et cetera, and expressing the exact same concerns. Because when the concern impacts the property owners, it's going to impact them eventually. And that's just the bottom line. And so I end again saying, as I started out, Howard, I don't see what the big hullabaloo is. If the staff choose to get up and express their concerns in support of their employers, that is their God-given right in a democratic society. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. Let me just chop it down before we get out of here for 1 o'clock. Let me just touch, because I got a guest coming in at 1, so we can touch this, and then we can slide forward. Let's do this. Breaking up the monopoly of a monopoly has been the course and a significant challenge socially for the oligarchs and these big conglomerates that exist in our society. There's been significant pushback as it relates to BTC with the incorporation of a new cell phone carrier. There has been a significant pushback as it relates to this sort of an idea that exists with Atlantis, like the caller said, it indicated when other properties came in. The idea is a retention for monopoly. Now, in a democratic society, the opportunities that exist to you should be afforded to me. This is not a conversation about whether or not wages will be siphoned or cut or anything as it relates to another entity coming in. This is a conversation to retain certain funds for shareholders that exist, and the possibility that in the forecast, in the future, you may not see what you're looking at right now. You're talking about two different things. Let's just be real with this. When we have a conversation and agitate for Toby, that is the local people talking about entrepreneurialism and the responsibility of our government to ensure that there is an opportunity, just like Bahamianization, for Bahamians to get a chance to get a piece of this pie. This is an entirely different conversation. A rejection of both democracy and an opportunity just to retain a certain position. And it is wrong. It is absolutely wrong. Let's take a commercial break, get to news, and be right back after this.
The Foundation. We'll be back right after this.
The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation. The Foundation.
Introducing Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger.
Chimichurri.
That's how you pronounce it.
Let it roll off your tongue.
Then get ready for some ridiculously good flavor.
Fresh,
herby,
garlicky,
green,
chimichurri.
It'll feel like a relaxing backyard get-together with friends on a Sunday.
Put in a burger.
Come meet Wendy's new chimichurri cheeseburger with our new Dave's Craft Lemonade. Wendy's, different inside and out.
My business couldn't survive without my credit card machine from Fidelity. It's fast, convenient, and my clients love it. My sales increased, and I can track my earnings. Get your credit card machine from Fidelity today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you. It's a special day for mom, and she deserves the best. Bring her into Baja and let's de-stress. We'll pamper her and make her feel safe. Get mom a nice spa day.
Come visit us at Baja Retreat Spa. Purchase a gift for mom and call us today at 323-6711.
We'll pamper her and make her feel safe. Get mom a nice spa day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation. Foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant in your company, the foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday. It's designed to be a panel discussion. You are part of the panel for the first part. I got some more texts here I want to be able to get to, but I told you that we're going to be able to have a very good conversation. Like I said to you, I gave you a little interlude, sort of a peek into what happened last night. I needed to be a part of this conversation. I needed to know what was happening for me, whether it was to be able to scratch that relentless and, you know, unquenchable itch of being able to know more about my community, my society, understanding the politics that exist thereof. I needed to know more. And in knowing more, I made it a point. Put it in my Google Calendar, put everything out there to ensure that I participated. I just needed to be in the audience. I needed to be in the audience. And, you know, as soon as I got there, I saw my guy. He got his little table under there. He got all his books out there. I'm, you know, fresh from the motherland. I could smell it on him, right? He's out there and being able to do wonderful. He got his book and everything. I'm sure he's going to be able to tell us about that. But this is a friend to every single one of my platforms, right? I can be decent today and say I didn't know whether or not he was going to come. Talk to me. I can be decent today. Because he knows he's pushed the envelope 1 year to talk about and really be able to look deep within, you know, our reflection and find out whether or not these proverbial wrinkles in our faces as a result of what we're ingesting. If we take in something different, maybe we can have an external outcome. We can have something different as it relates to that. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce you to a friend of the show, a friend of mine, none other than Chris Davis. He's here with us live and in full effect. My brother, what's happening with you?
I'm great, man.
You changed your name yet? Should I call you X something? Talk to me.
Yeah. Well, you know,
John Canute II.
John Canute II.
Is my title. In the Hanta region in Ghana, coming out of Princess Town, the place where our predominant celebration, John Canute, and our hero, John Canute the First, originates. You know, so shout out to the people of Princess Town, and shout out to the Bahamas as well, of course.
Antiquities and Monuments had put on a beautiful thing last night. I had to give a shout out to all those persons for being able to create this space. Also, with the chairman for the Secretariat for the Independence Committee, Leslie, in her particular capacity, has done an excellent job in being able to pull this together. I wanted to say maybe it could be one-sided or whatnot, but to be able to hear Frankie Wilson in his capacity, and also to be able to hear Mr. Sean McQueenie, who I believe is absolutely brilliant. Talk to me. This guy is absolutely brilliant.
Oh, yeah. Sean McQueenie.
Isn't he a brilliant guy? Yeah.
Even if you look in my acknowledgments, even though I actually never met the guy, he's in my acknowledgments.
He is a brilliant guy.
Because his books, yeah, his books are brilliant. And I like him more as an historian than as a QC.
He said his father even dabbled with this sort of an amateur historian to be able to do some stuff because he wrote for The Guardian, right? And I'm listening to him. And I was enamored. I'm just kind of, you know, sometimes you're wrapped up in these things. And I said, I got to have this guy on the show. So I reached out to him, and hopefully we could be able to set that up real soon.
Oh, yeah.
But I wanted to talk to you about the spirit of that, this concept and idea of idealism. Ladies and gentlemen, we started off on one note, but we got to do this. And we have time to break it down today, so I want to do this. I believe the conversation last night was conflicting idealism with conviction.
Right.
I believe that. I believe because they keep trying to, Ian Strawn in his particular capacity as one of the moderators, kept alluding to the idea of idealism. Has this idealism, and running to this thing, right? And no one has ever really been able to dissect the larger concept of idealism and break it down to passion, break it down to conviction, break it down to nationalism, and say that this vision for us all is what caused people to move towards it. I want to talk about that with you today. Do you believe in your capacity, in your research, and the things that you've done, do you believe that there should be a return to this idealism that they speak of in this particular capacity?
Well, it depends on what ideal in particular, or ideals, I should say, in particular, you're speaking about, right? I think that one problem that we have always had, and we had a conversation about this briefly before we even came on the radio, we tend to start our history with the 20th century, this modern history, and that already does us a disservice nationally, because there are so many people, no insults, and of course, and no attempt to degrade those that brought us as far as we have come up until 1967, right? But the first problem is, even with us starting in the 20th century, we typically water it down, right? And in my book, I talk about something called Anglophilia. And this is something that's in the Bahamas, it's regional, and it's global, right? And along the line, on top of this Anglophilia, which is the irrational love of all things English or all things British, and it is irrational because they are, in fact, our colonizers and enslavers, right? And it seems that many people still seem to struggle with this.
I want to ask you if you should contract the concept and idea of Anglophilia and be able to reduce it to maybe Caucasian philia, right?
Oh, yeah,
this
right.
This kind of idea. Because it's not only English anymore. It's topical.
Right.
It's only the skin.
Right. Oh, yeah. The white, you could call it the system of white supremacy, you know, that's the best way to describe it because that is what it is.
Okay.
Even though white and black in itself is a so construct, right? But even within that social construct, we know that this perception of whiteness, blackness, and everything in between has a direct effect on your destiny. And there's a problem where even in our modern history, before I even get into the nitty-gritty of it, we tend to water this down. And how do we water it down? We call it minority rule and majority rule. But what was it, Howard? Let's be honest. What was it?
What do you mean?
White rule. It was minority rule was white rule, and majority rule was black rule.
Yeah, but we have done such a good job of not being able to make certain social pronouncements.
Right.
Right. We've done such a good job not to be able to incorporate the idea of segregation.
Oh yeah.
But being able to say over the hill.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
I thought it was blowing my mind.
You get exactly what I'm saying, right? So And then even the name, even the meaning of the block and the flag. You look at all the records, you look at the people that put the flag together and the Timothy Gibsons who did the national, everybody, this was about blackness. But globally, but in the Bahamas, probably representing the perfect or imperfect or quintessential example of this, they have convinced us that it is wrong for Africans to fight for their freedom because that's what we are. Now, interestingly, you go to any university, you go to any school, I'm sure you've taken a class where you learn about the French Revolution. Mm. And the oppression that King Louis put his wife through. And they celebrate the beheading of King Louis, essentially, because of the level of oppression. How is it that everybody else can celebrate their fight for freedom, but we can't? And we have to settle for these watered-down things. And, you know, I'm not casting aspersion on any direct person, but this is just the reality. We have had people throughout the 1700s and 1800s and who have died for us, who fought for us, under our most dire of times and dire of need. You understand? Those who are the precursors to those in the 20th century national heroes of the Bahamas. Mm. But when you look at our national hero pantheon right now, you only have three groups, essentially. You get pastors, you get politicians. I say that, right? You know, but I think you're
getting where I go with. You need to stop it. You're getting far. Because, but I'm right here with you, sir. I'm right here with you. And it's important that we always have these socially uncomfortable. I captured.
Well, sorry, it's the third one is the colonizer. In case you didn't, in this case, you didn't figure it out. The Stafford Sons, the Roland Simonettes, the people who fought against the Bahamas becoming the Bahamas, but are somehow national heroes of the nation, the inception that they fought against.
Now, I want to touch this again. Like I said, captured something from Mr. Franklin Wilson and his particular Sir Frankie Wilson last night, and he said it on maybe two or three occasions, but he said it's an uncomfortable truth. He said it's an inconvenient truth, but it is the truth nonetheless. And so whilst we're taking these conversations and talking about it here at the foundation, we seek to do, because it's your first time here.
Yeah.
And so you know the whole concept of the show is that after a revolution, after we've broken down anything, it's time to be able to build it up. Mm-hmm. And so the truth of the matter is that how do we build it? We have to build with transparency and this sort of an honesty to ourselves to strengthen this foundation as we go forward to be able to build this next dispensation, next generation of Bahamians in this country. And so I like to talk like this, and I like to be very honest. Now, last night in the conversation about idealism, there's three things that they hit. They asked them about what are three things that you think you need, what three ideals that you think you need to be able to do. Frankie started to talk about, and his particular capacity, and I talked to him like I call his name like I know him, Mr. Wilson, right? He's like, I know this man, right? Mr. Wilson in his particular capacity, right? He says one of the things is unity, and then he needs the second thing was eradicate entitlement, and the third thing was hard work and family, so sort of these particular ideals, right? And then Mr. McQueenie, in his particular capacity, started to talk about a service to country via organizations. And they started to talk more specifically about Unicom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? Yeah.
Which also indicated that Unicom was the birth child, the brain birth child of former Prime Minister Perry Christie. I thought, this is wild, right? Okay, anyway, let's go, right? So he says unity, which was that was the you know, the cross-section of both of their contributions, unity. And then the third thing was self-reliance. Now, I thought this was wild.
Yeah. Well, can we go here? Let me just say, with the Unicom Party, the Unicom Party was
They said it wasn't a party.
Depends on how you look at that. I say that they were. The CIA, I have the CIA document. If you want me to slide that to you, I could slide that to you.
My brother, I'm here for this.
And the CIA were actually watching. They were watching the UBP, they were watching the PLP, and they were watching Unicom.
At the same time, they was watching what was happening with the Civil Rights Union in the United States of America.
And remember, this the mid-60s.
And they was watching Fred Hammond.
There you go,
and
right.
And they was watching, yeah.
So it was going on
here. They was mad busy.
Right, and I can assure you that Penlin would have gotten the proverbial, you know, stay in line. And
absolutely.
And now Unicom.
But not just from, it may have been, and let's get deep with this, it may have been via MI6 and the relationship with the CIA.
Most definitely.
Been able to have.
I can send it to you so you can see. Send it to you so you can see, and you can make your own judgment. But essentially, in the end, it was a notion where, well, you know, we don't really have to worry about Unicom because they ain't going to get more than 1,000 votes. You see? And now, Perry Christie may have been a member, but he certainly was not. He may have been the official. I don't know about that. I've never seen him connected to it
the
personally.
Monopoly.
But
this is what they said last night.
Unicorn comes mm-hmm. from Trevor Monroe. Mm-hmm. You have a group of radical socialists, Pan-Africanists, who came mostly out of Guyana, who influenced political parties throughout the Caribbean. And the Unicorn in the Bahamas was a part of that. And one of the reasons they failed was because our Caribbean xenophobia towards our brothers was already fully entrenched by that time. And you see, what one thing that is not acknowledged, so let's not to digress, but it's related, and you will see how. We love to thank and find ways to thank our colonial master. Now, and truthfully speaking, at least in the Pan-African world, you know how the rest of the Caribbean see Bahamians, right? We the Americanized ones. We the ones with the least amount of black pride, and we the ones who hate other black people the most. You understand?
Listen,
and
economically, we're loved, though. Talk to me. Yeah, they know right, when yeah. we show up, right. we got but, money.
Right, but I just talk speaking as a Pan-African. Now, however, though, when you look at our geographical location that we love to brag about so much, we don't actually look at it politically. For me, one of those ideas that we should focus on is Pan-Africanism, unapologetically. And Unicorn is what that was. You
but
see?
Isn't now, the Eastern Caribbean Organization another organization that actually identifies unifying? Because I talked about this the other day.
Yeah.
I talked about our relentless commitment as it relates to mm-hmm. CARICOM, as it relates to these European concepts
right.
that continue to amalgamate their mm-hmm. colonies.
Right.
Right? As opposed to us identifying the strength within ourselves and forging relationship within mm-hmm. the region.
Oh, yeah.
44 right. million people strong, and we still are here floating. Why Louis Farrakhan got to come here to tell us,
tell us.
that we should be right. able to do this? Why?
Because that's what I'm getting into right now. So okay. whether both consciously and subconsciously, this is how I view it. So what was going on throughout the mid-20th century and up in there? The Cold War, right? You had in 1959, Fidel Castro had his successful socialist revolution in Cuba, all right? Now, people love to credit Stafford Sands for all of these things, but the real father of tourism in the Bahamas is Fidel Castro. Because
you
they
are wilding out, sir. This is big wild. All yeah, caps. Talk to me.
Because they was going to Cuba, mostly, and the Bahamas was considered the quote-unquote playground for the rich. After the revolution, the socialist revolution, Cold War going
hold on.
There's a bunch of communists. We can't go there no more. Where we can go?
Hold on. This was
the Bahamas.
This was post 50.
This 59.
52 yeah. was when we saw. Mm-hmm. I think it was 52 when we saw mm-hmm. This sort of embargo.
Yeah.
Being set on Cuba and right. the separation thereof.
Right.
So and essentially, what you're saying is by default.
Yeah. Essentially. Yeah. And what we do is we thank Stafford Sands, who was on our $10 bill.
Thank you, Stafford Sands, for identifying by default.
Right, yeah. And it wasn't anything that he did.
But is that fair to say that,
special.
Though?
It's absolutely fair.
Watch me. Let's use my boy. We right
yeah.
here. Let's talk.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know I just get excited when my people mm-hmm. come into space, right? So we can talk like this, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I keep pushing the envelope to see if we can say how I'm not there, right?
Yeah.
So I won't be decent. But I want to know, because Stafford Sands in 1961 created a concept to be able to ensure that we see tourism boards. Stafford Sands created this particular concept for the structure of tourism that we continue to be able to emulate. And that exact same structure was lifted because I think he had a conversation at a convention in Miami. Talk right. to me. Let's be very clear.
Mm-hmm.
He had a conversation in a convention in Miami as a result of the conversation that he had or the lecture that he had at the convention in Miami. That concept of tourism was lifted and applied in Hawaii. And as a result of what we do here locally,
yeah.
the exact same thing, the exact same tourism concept and structure exist in Hawaii mm-hmm. because, and many attribute that to Stafford Sands.
Yeah, well, see, this is where, first of all, but our relationship to Hawaii was solidified before Stafford Sands was even born. And you could check the history of Dole Pineapple to solidify that. So, number one. Number two.
I enjoyed this.
I thought we live in a world where we about human rights and justice. Stafford Sands was a blatant Nazi sympathizer. And he set up our tourism industry to disenfranchise all Bahamians. Because he ain't not even a white Bahamian own a major hotel or resort in this country. But what we do is we view this and
exactly
we see
what you're saying.
Right. In Jamaica, whatever fiends made up with the family, but there is a Sanders Resort that based in Jamaica, founded in Jamaica. What is the hotel chain in the Bahamas? Name me a major Bahamian hotel.
I don't know, none, sir.
Name me, you understand? Right, so this is exactly what I'm talking about. If Howard Grant was in that same position, the same thing would happen. It's all circumstantial. What else is not? See, we have a kind of fishbowl mentality. Narnia, like we just living on this rock and nothing else affects us. 1971 was when the international labor under the UN, they passed international labor laws that gave everybody mandated human rights, 2 weeks vacation a year. You see, what Stafford signs into nothing. Mm. You see, what he do? And he did this for him and his own friends. And another thing, let's not forget the Hawkesbill Agreement. You from Grand Bahama.
I can be decent.
You know? And
in my decency. You know? Right. I can sprinkle it on the table and I can dust it off. All right. Okay. In my decency, I can do this, yes, right? These exact same concepts that I applied to the PLP. And then let me dust it off now. Mm-hmm. Exact same concept. Let me tell you why.
Yeah.
Because, and then also, let me take it back a little bit further. Last night, they started to have this conversation about the spirit of revolution that existed in the 60s. And then you type in, you say, the revolution that existed in the 60s, and you could realize globally, historically, the 60s was the most revolutionized era in life.
Right.
That all over, people were just fighting for rights and fighting for this transition. Right. No one has been able to articulate, because I can look for it, I keep looking for it, articulate what I've identified as the winds of change, the trade winds of time that actually has been released in this particular area. Now, a lot of us, superstitious, because that's where we come from. But even in that superstition, we reside in this kind of stupor, not necessarily understanding that there's been something released for transition.
Right. Now, with me, let me start with, like, work my way from forward to back. So a lot of people look at the global civil rights movement as the pinnacle of our achievement in terms of fighting for our freedom. And in some senses, it is true.
You say you mean Pan-African, black people, or Bahamians?
All black people globally. So that's Bahamians, Jamaicans, everyone who's getting independence throughout the mid-20th century, whether by fight or by receiving it. But they ain't no one receive it. Everybody gained it. So I'm not trying to, again, negate these movements that happened in the 60s, of which our parents and grandparents were a part of. But what I'm saying is that does not represent our most revolutionary period. Far from it. And what you see is who controls the historical narrative, who controls the proverbial academic. So our most revolutionary period, I will tell you unequivocally, was the 1830s going into the early 1840s. This is when you had widespread slave revolts on plantations, an area in our history that is completely overlooked. And people try to separate it like it's so far away, even though it's less than 200 years ago. Yet they, the same people who trying to separate it, the same ones who would beat you over the head over a book that's 2,000 years old. You understand? So that's first and foremost. Now, to the PLP part, you ain't got to dust nothing off the table.
Let's take it back there. I mound it up then.
I'm a Pan-Africanist. I know nothing. I'm a Pan-Africanist before I'm anything.
Okay, let me mound it back up.
Yeah, then. So this my issue with all of that. You can't speak about revolution, and you can't speak about gaining independence when, first of all, you many of the methodologies of the colonizer, number one.
You're getting hot, sir.
And number two, and this includes, and like again, not throwing aspersion, but this is just the reality. Who did we gain independence from?
You need to ask it.
The British,
question.
Right? The no, British. You, yeah, right? Okay, just saying it.
A deeper question is, do we have independence?
Thank you. Right, but who did we? Okay, just speaking in layman's terms, right? Okay. Britain, right?
Yes.
What is a knight?
A British knight?
Yeah. What are they? What do they do? They served, at least before, it's different now, but they were basically military men. So when you see Rio Tinto and all these places where they killed millions of Africans in South Africa, for example, of which Rawson was a part of, who Rawson Square is named after, by the way, you understand? These are the things that we just completely overlook. This is what freedom represents. Unfortunately, and again, I would not place all the blame on any Africans because, in fact, what we have been going through up until now is a genocide.
I get you
understand?
Let
me finish this point. Okay, so when you see these men then turn around and accept knighthoods, and you see our queen mothers go from Queen Mothers to Dames. That's what I really have a problem
with. Oh, my God.
And then you see that Anglophilia, because how you getting validated from, that's the enemy. Let's be real. That's exactly what
I didn't know you was going to come to do this today.
Yeah, man.
You should have come for 2 hours,
And what people like to, and people are always talking, but so, and me, I don't pull no punches when it comes to Pan-Africanism.
Okay, so let's do
this. So when we have our Haitian xenophobia ramping around the place and all this stuff, the number one thing people talk about is, oh, well, these Haitians violating our sovereignty, right? Right? Mm-hmm. But then they downplay the role of the Governor General. You go in any office building, the Governor General, who you did not vote
pinnacle?
For,
mm-hmm.
is at the top of the Prime Minister, who you did vote for.
Absolutely.
You understand? So when we're talking about calling, and of course, we know what happened last week. I was in a bad mood all last week. Because mm-hmm. when these, it's just, for me, completely unacceptable, as it should be.
I want to take this back to the Knight's position. Are mm-hmm. you saying to me, are you indicating, I'm going to take a quick commercial break, are you indicating to me, that accepting a knighthood symbolically identifies you quashing and crushing the backs of those of your brothers and sisters on behalf of the monarch?
That's exactly all right. Let's even bring it down even simpler. I in a gang, you in a gang. You are your gang of a problem. My gang is my gang. Subjugates your gang. My gang now lifts a little bit of that subjugation off and say, okay, y'all is an independent gang now. Y'all ain't under us no more. And then you join my gang. What are you? I let people form
that's
their
indentured.
Own opinion.
So this is the indentured servitude.
Right. You see? And this is, it just goes back to the colonial mindset, white supremacy. Now, the other side of it, which is very difficult, and this is where we need to find a balance with black leaders. Because what we also forget, DSP step out of line, you understand? So the point I was making earlier, the Bahamas is actually surrounded by all of these examples. You have the Haitian Revolution, successful 200 years ago. And the Haitian Revolution, they've been paying for it ever since. People try to blame them for all their own problems, but it is at the feet of the French, the Spanish, the British, Americans, and more recently, Canadians, and all those in between, right?
Now,
then you have the United States, and we know what's happening in the United States. At that time, you was having lynchings, all of this stuff on the regular, right? And then you have Cuba, who had a socialist revolution. So we are surrounded by all of these examples of what happens to people of color when they revolt and fight for their rights. And we are still in this vein and in this mindset where we were only Africans and indigenous Americans. Y'all wrong for fighting for y'all freedom. Y'all wrong for talking about fighting for y'all freedom. And y'all wrong for wanting y'all freedom.
I love this conversation. Let me see if I can take this telephone call before I go to a break. Ladies, you know the numbers. Give me a call. Calling on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Well, thank you very much for allowing me to contribute. I'm very eager and excited to hear this conversation.
This sound like CA. 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 You just leave here. How you get back on this show? Go ahead, CA.
I'm black. But you didn't tell me you was bringing a prophet on it, too.
Go ahead, CA. I can fight you.
Yeah. And what I appreciate is the self-actualization of what is happening, right? A reflection of where we are 50 years in. And also how you juxtapose the commentary on idealism. To this point, I still have no clue what idealism means and what they intended to do in reference to that masterclass they had yesterday. Mm-hmm. Now, I think that the intention is great, right? I think the intention was just. But when you analyze it, and it seems as if the PLP has a monopoly on the history of the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. If we're talking 50 years, what happened in 1992? Was that significant?
Right.
Why was there a shift in the Bahamas psyche and the Bahamas voting issue that happened in 1992? That narrative must also be told if you're going to be talking about idealism and what it is that we are pursuing in the Bahamas.
Frankie Wilson talked about it last night. You wasn't there. Frankie Wilson, you wasn't there. Watch me. Frankie Wilson indicated in his commentary last night, he said, and when he said two things which stood out to me. He said, before Lyndon Pinnon passed away, he saw Maurice Moore saw him in New York City. And Maurice Moore indicated to indicated to Maurice Moore that when y'all left, meaning the dissident hate, when y'all left the PLP, y'all took the soul of the PLP. I thought this was wild that he said that. I wrote that down, right? Secondly, Frankie Wilson indicated that there was a significant shift. And also, almost like in the spirit of what former Prime Minister Perry Christie would say, it is what it is, when he indicated that after you've amalgamated all this strength, all these voices, all these particular persons in this space, there could be no expectation that everyone would pledge allegiance to this concept of idealism. And I ask myself the question, why is it? Is it because of a lack of vision? Is it, what was it? The thing was strong. CA, you should have stayed here. We could have come on the show.
If I knew it was going to have this big type topic, you know, I would have stayed back.
My goodness, CA. So tell me what you're
doing. And we need to now challenge that old generation. And that old generation didn't get it right. 50 years later, we still
haven't
set aside. And we need to challenge them and say that narrative, which you're trying to push forward, ain't the narrative that we accepted. And if that's the idealism that you want to bring back, we say no. We don't want it.
I appreciate you, my brother. You're a good, decent man. I can invite you on the show so we can chop it down. You always wear the African shade. So.
All right.
So I see some other calls in there. I didn't know we was going to dive all the way, but I should have known. Talk to me. I should have known. Anytime I get Chris on the show, we getting deep, baby. Right? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is 96.9 FM radio. Howard Grant, the foundation, chopping the thing down today. I'm so happy to be in your company. We're going to go a little bit deeper. Let's take this quick commercial break and be right back after this.
The foundation.
We'll be back right after this.
Guardian Radio and the Foundation are on the move.
Bahamas, this one's for you.
SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Every Thursday, the Foundation with Howard Grant will highlight small businesses throughout the country, far and wide. Your products, services, prices, and personality. We want to hear it all. Get your 30 or 60 second advertisement heard on air at a fraction of the cost. We here at the Foundation understand the times and don't want you to be left behind. With Guardian Radio, you reach your specific demographic and it is unmatched.
We reach thousands daily.
Get your products off the shelf and your services in their hearts. Small Business Thursdays with the Foundation, only on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. For more information, call 302-2300 or the Help Me Howard line at 827-0111. SBT. Small Business Thursdays. Get your business moving today.
Make your morning sizzle with breakfast from Burger King Nassau. Enjoy not one, but two delicious sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches made just for you for only $5.75, including VAT. This breakfast classic is made with burgers and melted American cheese on that classic buttery croissant you love. So say hello to sizzling mornings at Burger King with two sausage and cheese croissant sandwiches for only $5.75, including VAT. Only at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Ready to step into the future? From your front door to the backyard and everywhere in between. See and speak to whoever's there with Ring Video doorbells and security cameras now available at Alive. Protect what matters most, all from one easy app. Available in your Google or Apple Play Store. Visit bealive.com/ring to learn more. We are alive.
MyGate is a safe, secure way to access and pay for government services online. Go to mygateway.gov.bs and log in to request a police character certificate, renew your passport or driver's license, and more. Receive emails confirming requests and alerts when documents are ready. You must have a valid government-issued ID in order to collect documents. MyGateway is fast, easy, and convenient. Gateway.gov.bs and register today.
The sixth edition of the Bahamas Games are on the way. July 7th through the 15th, get ready for inter-island sporting competition in the spirit of unity and camaraderie. Which island is gonna win? It's the Bahamas Games. Our nation, our talent, our games. And look out for the V-Games crew coming to your island soon. For more information, call 809-1242 or visit the Bahama D.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Foundation. Foundation. The foundation. The foundation. Foundation. The foundation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, 96.9 FM radio, Howard Grant in your company, Foundation, on this beautiful Wednesday. Didn't know we was going to trouble the water so deep today. Talk to me. This is an undercurrent of a significant conversation. I'm hoping that it spills into your, not only your earlobes, but into your spirit, to understand that in this time, it's time for us to be able to stand up for what we want and move forward. We started off the top of the hour to talk about Atlantis's, the probe over Atlantis and the bosses in RCI statement, and the Department of Labor descends upon Paradise Island to be able to really gather this concept as whether or not the employees feel pressured to move in one direction or the other. And in the second hour, we're here with Chris Davis and really being able to talk about, and not necessarily dissecting the conversation that happened last night, because I believe the spirit of the concept and the idea that existed was a great idea. But for us in this generation, I had to cut down some things. And that's why I had to be there. I had to cut down some things. And I had to know some things because I still feel the spirit of Anglophobia. Caught to me. That's what you're saying. Yeah. I still
Anglophilia, not Anglophobia. Right? We need some Anglophobia.
No, Anglophilia. Right?
We need Anglophobia.
The spirit was released by a conversation. And it seems like a quiet and a relentless commitment, because there has not been, and I don't think there has been, sort of a push for this position of nationalism and, for want of a better word, black power within our communities to be able to stand, be able to push forward. When they started to talk about UNICOM, it blew my mind. And one of the questions was and to Sean McQueenie's point, and I'm going to have him on, we're going to talk about it. To Sean McQueenie's point, when he indicated that organizations such as there needs to be service to country, that was the first thing he said as an ideal, service to country, and he said it should be via organizations such as UNICOM. And I said, this is strange, because after the PLP got in power, let's touch this, just so we can touch it. And I said the PLP got in power, 70-year-old organization, but after they got in power, there was a social dismantling.
Yep.
And they talked about this, the Vanguard Party. Talk to me.
Yeah, the Vanguard Party. And UNICOM. Yeah, UNICOM, again, was considered the pariah. If we had to, let's compare our political parties at the time to organizations and civil rights leaders.
That we know of global.
Global, right.
Okay.
So UNICOM would have been the party. Malcolm X.
Militant.
Not even necessarily militant, but appropriately radical, I would say.
Appropriately radical.
Hold on.
That's subjective, though, because it's appropriate is based upon the time that they were in.
So
it was inappropriate, but through the lens of being able to look back, well, this is definitely appropriate.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, most definitely, you know.
Okay.
And again, to speak to the realities of what was happening, during that time, they were killing great black messianic figures through the program of COINTELPRO, and this is Fox, the CIA. This was something that was happening. So, again, it's a two-sided sword for us. But then when you're independent and you continuously make the same decisions and it doesn't seem to be any movement towards the initial goal of freedom and autonomy, because that's essentially what it means. It means autonomy, you know?
I got to have Sean McQueenie on tomorrow.
Yeah, and, you know, and there, and UNICOM, tomorrow, as I understood it, had an adversarial relationship with the PLP and others, even though people who joined the PLP were not
Franklin Wilson.
There, you see. Now, hold on. Now,
this is wild.
You have to understand. So, we know that the PLP, the Progressive Liberal Party, was the party that led us to black majority rule, right? Not majority, black majority. Let's put the black in there. Don't be ashamed.
You know,
you need to stop being ashamed.
Okay.
Right, but at the same time, don't forget Randall Fowkes, who was independent, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
He ended up, he saw what was going
Labor
on,
Party. Yes.
And then he ended up saying, well, I got to side with the PLP on this one because for the greater good.
Yeah, because the preamble, the concept
right, you see,
of the empowerment of a people.
Right,
yeah.
And And there's this, I say that there's like three types of like sycophants when it comes to the Progressive Liberal Party. I don't even know if sycophant is, let's say supporters, right? You have the sycophants who irrationally just support no matter what, right? But even within that, there are varying reasons. So you have those that just benefit from a particular group being in power, plain and simple. The plain old selfish reason. But you do have people who love the party because they were a part of the struggle that they certainly
but they, had. But you can still identify them as sycophants because despite right. the fact that this is what we initially got into it for, but as our relationship progressed, things right. changed but and you the, still remain committed.
The ideal now, let's get to the ideals.
Okay.
Progressive Liberal Party. That's the ideal right there. Progressive Liberal Party. And the PLP, relatively speaking, has been quite conservative. And we still have a conservative government.
That
all
conservative
of our governments
nature is
have been conservative, you know.
Because of their mm-hmm. relentless servitude to the crown.
Right.
They can't move outside of that conservative nature simply because we continue to yield the power
and this
that
is
exists
why,
within our communities.
Right. So we know that this
crown.
Is a problem. This is colonization. This is something that affects all
Neil.
Of us. You name Grant and I name Davis. You don't look like you from Scotland to me. And I sure don't look like I from Wales. You understand? So it's think of our nation as a child. What we do with our nation as a child that have all these problems and issues is we only, the child, what? The child is, let's say the child 300 years, the person is 300 years old. But we only looking at the last 60, 70 years. Of that, you understand
you
what I'm
dismiss.
Saying? And you dismiss the childhood, which is the
240
core, the, if I may, pun intended, mm-hmm. the foundation mm-hmm. of all of these things. You understand what I'm saying?
I like
so,
what you did there.
So why is this Anglophilia so present? Why is it this fair to remove ourselves from certain vestiges of colonization that we know to be harmful? For Christ's sake, West African religion is illegal in a country that is, I would say, 93% West African.
Let me take a telephone call. Ladies yeah. and gentlemen, live and in full effect, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, anywhere from the family violence or toll-free, 242-300-5720, or text me, 422-4796. Call on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Hey, Howard.
Hey.
Hey, I have to call back to make one comment with Chris. Hey, Chris, when I saw the proceedings of last week, my mind went on you. And I was smiling to myself. But like, yeah, I understand and I agree with the points that you're making. In particular, when you spoke earlier before the break, you mentioned that these are persons who hated us. And when I look at what has happened over the last 50 years in our country, in many regards, it's almost like we just changed the guard, right? But the same principles are now applying, where we have the power because we have failed to transfer economic power to our people. We have only gained political majority rule. That's it. It's the same old ball game as before. Thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, my brother. Yeah, I do appreciate you.
Well, I'll say this. I like to use analogies. You know, we have this analogy that we love to use in the Bahamas, crab in a bucket syndrome, right? This is one of the things I see in our modern issues, why we always shift in governments. Crab in a bucket syndrome, right? All these black people pulling each other down, we can't see them do this and do that. We just forget the most important thing. Crabs don't live in buckets.
No.
What that bucket is, the Westminster system, mm-hmm. Christian dogma, mm-hmm. Haitian xenophobia, mm-hmm. Violence against women. This mm-hmm. is the bucket. And these are all
the bucket existed before, or do we keep plastering things on it?
Just keep plastering it. And we just break some parts of the bucket been breaking down. And some of us are in a more comfortable part of the bucket. And
but
we contented with that. You understand?
Some crabs, proverbial mm-hmm. crabs, has kind of clawed out of this bucket and look back down at it and say, well, I don't know why you don't work hard. You all need to work hard to get on this bucket.
They ain't out the bucket. They still in the bucket. It's all us in the bucket.
Can I talk you like know? This? Y'all talk to me.
They don't.
You look down at Jay-Z the edge of the bucket.
Say, the N-word song, what Jay-Z song say, you still up.
That's all it. Right. That's who he is. Let me take a next telephone call. Caller, you're on the line with us live. Go ahead. Go ahead, caller, you on the line with us live. Guys, you can give me a call before we get out of here. I think this is you coming back. Caller, you on the line with us live. Go ahead.
Yeah, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. What's happening?
Yeah, man, I see you last night.
I was right there. I was in the back. I got in slimmer. Go ahead.
Man, look here. The only return we could have is from 1920 to 1960. Mm-hmm. After all that, it going south. Mm-hmm. Okay? The same fellas who made all the noise have sirs behind their name and became QCs.
And Casey.
You know, so that's a whole bag of mess there. Mm-hmm. Anyway, buddy, enjoy the conversation.
Thank you, my brother. I appreciate your telephone call.
Now, for me, I would strongly disagree that from 1920 to 1960, see, and this is where we sometimes lose sight. I speak about this a lot in my book, actually. So while we chastise our modern leaders, we must always remember, and this is the point that I'm making, we begin our history at this time, 20th century. There is no way, shape, or form that any black leader that has ever served this country, let me make that clear, is worse than the colonizer. And from 1920 to 1960, it was the colonizer. In the 1920s and 1930s, you had all sorts of exploitation through the truck and the credit system, through the sponging industry, through the farming industry, you see? When you analyze history, there is a lot that you have to take in it, and that'll even make a parallel with Haiti. After Haiti won their revolution, one of the things the leaders tried to get them to do, what made Haiti the richest nation in the Western Hemisphere, besides from the slaves that the French owned, of course, was their sugar production. Mm-hmm. And after they enslaved for so long doing all the sugar production, them, they look at the leaders like they're crazy, and it's like, okay, y'all got to go grow some sugar cane again so we could make some money. And when you make that parallel to our independence, all this time we have the truck and credit system. We have parents and grandparents, right? What they has talked to you about? Oh, well, you know, when I was small, I used to have to go work on the farm, and I used to, what is that? That is child labor. See, and we like to water down.
Yeah, because your grandmother
down,
say, I left school at 14.
Right, the American equivalent, sharecropping. My own father experienced that for the first 8 years or so of his life.
Yeah.
You see, and this is what we are coming out of. So I will, as harsh as I may be, on the man that accept the knighted and the QC, he is no way, not even 1% as bad as the true British knight who enslave us, who colonize us. You understand? That's how we get our surnames. So don't ever lose sight of that. Mm-hmm. You know, every prime minister, every MP that we had was better than people like Charles Dames, than people like John Rowe, than people like, yes, James Carmichael Smith, than all of these people. People whose names we don't know. These are our slave masters.
Sean McQueen actually spoke. Sean McQueen has talked about James Carmichael Smith.
Right.
Which was the head of, he was a postmaster, I think, Smith.
Right.
He was a postmaster.
Yeah.
That actually agitated for there to be revolution. I got to bring Sean McQueen into the conversation.
Yeah, so he was actually affectionately named after James Carmichael Smith, the governor. He is considered one of the foremost early Pan-Africanists in British history. He published a newspaper, I believe, not The Liberator. Name just popped out my head.
Yeah, they talked about it last night also.
He published it in the Bahamas. They pretty much kick him out of the
Bahamas. Yes, it was. Hold on.
Yeah.
It was actually, they started to talk about how it was banned
within
the entire region.
Yeah, right, because it was considered too radical. And then he became one of the predominant Pan-African figures and publishers in British history. And oh yeah, by the way, he is fully Bahamian, but his ma was from Haiti and his father was from Scotland, and he was born in Kidd Island.
It's heavy stuff.
Sorry, so it says, Scotland, Yorkshire, Liverpool, around that area.
Let me read a couple of these texts before we get out of here. It says, tell our beloved great historian, Mr. Chris Davis, we love and appreciate him always. Love to hear him on the radio. Ask him, are the forts and other similar related museums and antiquities places open in the public on Saturday? What hours, what times? Also ask him if Vendu House is still open to the public on Saturdays. This is wild.
Yeah, well, I do work there, but I'm not representing them today.
Today,
I still, from 9:30 to 4:30, all of our sites are open Monday until Saturday. Okay, if you go in with a group or you want a special thing, because I move around a lot between the sites and I always have stuff going on both within AMMC and outside, so you could actually call, make an appointment to one of those places, and if you request, hey, I want John Canute II, do my tour, but I'll make sure I make time just to do it, especially for the kids.
He's a good, decent man. I may read a couple more. It's just our history pre-independence should also be told no matter how ugly. And yes. we need a Bahamas history told, not NASA-centric, nor PLP-centric. This is right. heavy what they're saying.
Oh, yeah.
It says Bahamians, this is a little heavy. Mm-hmm. Let me see how much this is. So it says Bahamians are keeping themselves back.
Yep, most definitely. See, and this is exactly the main point I was making. We have hired people just to ring off some names. All of these are featured in my book, by the way, Black Rinse. You could pick it up at any AMMC fort or at the Pompey Museum downtown, as well as Dune Galick Studios or Chapter One Bookstore at UB. Black Rinse, countering the whitewash of our history, a new perspective on the history of the African diaspora in the Bahamas. We have people like Jem Dean. You know what a maroon is, right, Howard?
You mean the five, the white people who sing? I mean, I don't know what you're
talking about. No. So a maroons represent the pinnacle of fighting against slavery. Yes. Right, okay, so Queen Nanny, the mother of Jamaica. We had four distinct maroon communities in the Bahamas, spoken about over about two chapters in my book.
I got your book, so I got to read it and chop it down, and then you got to come back so we can dissect the thing.
Oh, yeah, he had a young fella named Jem Dean, who was born in Blairwood Estates, which used to be a plantation. And then he
near the Eastern Road?
Yeah, right there. And then he escaped from his enslaver, who was John Dean at the time. Then he was bought by a man named Bud Cade Matthews, who was a big-time enslaver who had plantation in San Salvador and New Providence, ran away from him in about 1816. And for 7 years, that man lived as a maroon and became a maroon leader. And when you read the reports about him, oh, be careful of this fella, Jem, because if you talk on him, we had our own maroon leader. And you know what happened to him, Howard? They lynched him right there in the public library. This happened in 1823. The anniversary of his lynching is actually coming up soon. So check out our page, Sankofa Flamingo, and you can get the story, or you can go buy the book and get the entire story.
Jem Dean
and a man who fight provided a whole community for Africans and enslaved Bahamians to run away from slavery and live, and supported themselves using the fresh water around Blue Hills. Ironically, Jamaica maroon community, the biggest one, was the Blue Mountains, and ours was Blue Hills. Wow. Not named after Isaac Bailu, by the way, for those historians.
Guys, this is heavy stuff, and you know we got 3 minutes before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of these texts coming through. I don't know if I can be able to read all this. Is Anglophobia. Yes, I agree that is what we need, Anglophobia towards Anglo-Saxons. Okay, this is too much. Okay, let's see if we can do this. Oh, yo, Chris, I've been saying that for years, boy. This is when these talk show hosts sit there and blame these black leaders for everything most of the time, I always say, so what, we forget everything white people do before this to design the dysfunctional system that continues to be able to benefit from.
And that they continue to benefit from more than anybody else.
Somebody texts and say, who's the guest? That's Chris Davis. Make sure you pick up his book. It's called Black Rinse. It's out there. You can be able to find that thing. It says, remind your guests that the topic was idealism. This is crazy that the person's saying that. I think we are on topic today.
Yeah.
This
is Pan-Africanism, unapologetically, is the ideal and the part of idealism that we are speaking about today, in case they missed that part.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is, why doesn't your guest change his name if he feels so that our surnames are from slave masters?
My name has been changed, but Howard is calling me Chris Davis. But I actually...
John,
we were trying to signal it,
John,
but you could tell them my name.
I knew that. Yeah,
John Kanu the second, Nana Safahini, John Kwao the second, which is actually the real name and title of our hero, John Kanu the second, and the Ahanta people who provided the first two Africans that came to the Bahamas. Yeah, these people is US Sorcy. They is ring cowbell just like us. So it's been unequivocally proven. And they bestowed the greatest honor on me. But of course, this is the Bahamas, and we like, we rather go to coronations in England than go to coronations in
Africa. You need to stop. Let me see if I get it. One more. It says, Haiti never won the revolution. They were charged with a war debt, and they only just finished paying. When you lie like this, it makes you seem uneducated. This is what the people texting.
Never won the revolution.
This is a lot what they say.
Oh,
right?
My goodness gracious.
Says,
1804, they won the revolution. On May 17th, Haitians celebrate Haitian Flag Day. The revolution was won on January 1st. Haitian Flag Day is a result that even after they won, they refused to negotiate with Dessalines. This is 1804. Then the French recouped over the next three decades, and then they subjugated when they charged the Haitians $22 billion in reparations, even though they was the one who was enslaved. So they telling me I sound uneducated. That just sound
this
like
the a, people who rowing.
That just sound
around.
Like a Haitian xenophobe who needs to purchase my up. Book and read chapter 9, which is on the relationship between Haiti and the bombs, and then you will understand why you yourself is so xenophobic to the point where you're willing to deny the greatest revolution in ever realized by humans. Ever.
Ladies and gentlemen, make sure you pick up the book. This is John the Second.
Yeah.
John Canoe the Second is here with us. I got to be decent. This is my guy, man. I always appreciate what he's done. This is Black Rinse. Make sure you pick it up. Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you for your participation. If you want to be a part of Small Business Thursdays tomorrow, please give me a call, 827-0111. This has been an absolutely phenomenal hour. Next time, you got to give me two. Okay.
Oh yeah.
You gotta
sure.
give me two, and we gotta break down this book. Even if I go chapter by chapter, we gotta do this thing. It's exciting, ladies and gentlemen. I thank you so very kindly. Please stick and stay for Z Live with Chivago Lang right after this 96.9 FM, The Foundation with Howard Grant. We see you guys tomorrow. Godspeed. Have a good day.
Foundation.
The foundation. This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.